You're listening to Houston's First Baptist Church. For more information, visit us online at houstonsfirst.org. Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. Here's Greg Mott.
Well, when we started planning for this day, the folks came to me and they said, "Hey, I know what we can do. This can be session one of Vacation Bible School. That's what we can do." And we'll have the whole thing set. And I said, "Well, the only problem is I'm speaking on the Antichrist that day. And I don't feel like we can really pull off session one of VBS and the Antichrist in the same time. It just won't be, we can't get the hand motions right. It's just not going to really work for the kids to be able to do that." So we're going to journey on in our series, but we're also going to have the backdrop behind us. So the backdrop behind us, what I want you to know is at the end of the message, you need to get on board with Jesus, okay? That's what it needs to be. And I thought about like pressing the smokestack, you know, and have a little illustration there of turn or burn or something like that. But to be able to look into our Bibles, as we look into 2 Thessalonians is where we're going to be, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And it's going to be a great time for us to be able to look and just see what God is doing through this passage. What a great study this has been. What an amazing thing this has been. So we're going to get a little bit of review in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 or chapter 2, verses 5 through 7 is what we're going to go through. So let's read 2 Thessalonians chapters 5 through 7 together. Not together, but you listen and I'll read it. Verse 5, "Do you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things? And now you know what is holding him back." That's the Antichrist or the man of lawlessness. "So that he may be revealed at the proper time. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work, but the one who now holds it back will continue to do so until he is taken out of the way." We'll stop there. Now, he begins in that verse 5, and he says, "Now, I've already told you these things." Something I love about Paul is really big on repeating himself. "Again, I say rejoice. It does me no harm to tell you this again. I want you to really understand this. I want you to really know this and to understand it." So Paul repeats himself. Often he repeats himself. So he comes back and he says, "Guys, I've told you this before. I've told you about how this has gone through and what is going to happen, but we've gotten a little bit shady since then. We've forgotten some things. We've slept since then. So I'm going to take a cue from Paul, and we're going to review, as we look in our listening guides as well, where we are in this journey. We've been looking at 5 post-it notes. I've been working really hard to keep this thing really simple for you. So we got our 5 post-it notes. Choir, this will be the first time you've actually seen them. Here they are behind me coming up. So this is our 3 arrows and 2 lines. We've been talking about it for months. 3 arrows, 2 lines. 3 arrows, 2 lines. Our first arrow is an arrow up. It's the rapture. Christ comes for his church. Next line is a squiggly line of chaos in the tribulation. It'll be 3.5 years of peace. The Antichrist will set himself up to be worshipped in the temple 3.5 years in. A treaty will be formed at the beginning with Israel and be broken in the midpoint with Israel. And then there'll be 3.5 years of persecution. But 7 years of just worldwide, you don't want to be here kind of stuff. Peace in the beginning, persecution in the end. Then we've got the second arrow. It's the second coming of Christ. It's Christ not coming for his church. It's Christ coming with his church. Then the 1,000-year reign of Christ, a long line, the millennium is what that is. 1,000-year reign of Christ with his people here on earth. And then finally, the last arrow is the eternity for heaven for believers, hell for unbelievers. So we looked at that. We've looked at that a few months ago in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We looked at it last week again. So that's my reminder to you. Remember these things. Now, there's much discussion over orders and different things like that, but this is where our church falls and where I personally fall as well and believe the teaching of the Bible to be in this realm. Now, last week, what we did is we divided up the rapture and the tribulation, because in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, they thought that they were already in the tribulation. And so Paul says, time out. You're not in the tribulation yet. There's a couple things that have to happen. Last week, I gave you 2 things. This week, I'm going to give you the third. It's actually going to be the first, but Paul has it as the third. So the 2 things that I gave you last week were before the tribulation happens, because they were worried they were in it, there's going to have to be a rebellion, an apostasy. It says here in the beginning of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says that they will rebel in verse 3, and until the rebellion occurs. So people that are not true believers in Christ, they're professed believers. They may have gone to church their whole life. They may have said, sure, I check a box on the census that says Christian or Jewish. will be Jews and Christians that will rebel against God. But we're not for that. We're running. So there's going to be this mass, climactic, huge rebellion. We already see people leaving the faith. But this is going to be on a grand, grand scale. There will be a rebellion before the tribulation. And then second, also in verse 3 of this chapter we're studying, it says, and the man of lawlessness, he's described in the book of Revelation as the beast. He's described in 1st and 2nd John as the Antichrist. He's described here as the man of lawlessness. The Antichrist, the man of lawlessness, the beast, will be revealed. So we're not going to know. If you're a believer in Jesus, we're not going to know. If you find out who the Antichrist is for sure, then you got left behind, okay? You're not going to know. We can have a few guesses, but we just can't figure it out. Now, Satan's got different places. Every generation has somebody that's a potential because he doesn't know when the end times are coming. So in this, we see that there's a rebellion and there's a revealing. Now, Paul gives this prophecy, and he talks about this prophecy. He is sharing it with people that are believers a long time. He's sharing it with people that are brand new believers. See, a lot of times we pull back on the deep truths of God with new believers, and I understand that. We need to be relevant. That's a part of who we are as a church even. We need to understand to give them what they need, but at the same time, we can't hold it back. We got to say, Jesus Christ is coming back. Here's who he is. Here's what he's going for. I've even learned with my son to be able to tell him things at a deeper level, and he'll catch what he can catch, and he'll leave what he can't catch. The other day, we were driving in the car, and a bumper sticker said, say no to socialism. Well, he can read now, so he said, Daddy, what's socialism? So we had a little conversation about capitalism versus socialism. We had a few while back, he asked another question. We've been giving him his own money. It's funny how freely he spends my money and what a saver he has become with his money. Yeah, I said, Grayson, you're going to put me in the poorhouse. He asked me a couple weeks ago. He said, Daddy, is there really a poorhouse? I said, yes, there is, son, and we don't want to go there. So we talked about supply and demand. The reason that that's so expensive because the supply is low and the demand is high. And he caught a little bit, lost a little bit, but I just want to be able to teach him in those ways. So the same thing, if you're a brand new believer, we're going into deep water, but catch what you can catch and leave what you can't. God will reveal it. All of us are on this journey, and I'm telling you, end times is a lifelong journey of understanding. Lifelong. It is a confusing deal. So just take what you can get and keep on rolling. That's why Paul says, I want to remind you of these things. Young believers, old believers, I want you to know what this is. So we reviewed the 5 post-it notes, and now we're in between rapture and tribulation. They thought they were in the tribulation. Paul says there's got to be a rebellion, and there's got to be a revealing. And then he does something real interesting in the verses that we'll study today. He says there's a restrainer. There's something that's holding this back. There is a dam that's keeping the water, and it's not going to be broken because of the strength of the water. It's going to be lifted up so that then the water can flow. So let's ask ourselves this question. What is holding back the end times right now? What is holding back this man of lawlessness? What is holding back and restraining sin being just unleashed upon this world? Well, there's a couple different thoughts of who the restrainer could be. It could be the government. That's what some people have thought in this study, that it could be the government. Now, government was instituted by God. In Romans chapter 13, verse 1, everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. Authorities that exist have been established by God. So some folks say, well, that's the government. Well, there's a problem with that, though. If the restrainer is the government, then you also have the government within the tribulation. Because remember what we talked about, that the Antichrist, he's going to be a man that is socially winsome and very eloquent in his words. He's morally going to be a deceiver, but politically he's going to be a ruler. So there's going to be government that's going to happen with the Antichrist. He is going to establish a one world government. And it's going to be a nation of a confederation of 10 nations within Europe that will then have a one world currency. He will establish from that then a one world religion, and they will set themselves up. He will set himself up in the temple to be worshiped. So government can't be it, because government is going to be a key aspect of what the Antichrist is doing. Now, some of the early church fathers even thought that it was the Roman government at the time. Well, I don't think that it can be, because if the government is going to be here with the aspect of the Antichrist. Even this week, there was an email that was given, or that I saw, and it was from a news report, and it said that in Russia, they're beginning to talk about a supranational. That was a new word for me. Supranational, meaning over nations. A supranational currency is one of the things on the table to be discussed when all the world leaders get together, and the Russian president is the one that is proposing it. Fits right in line with what we're studying here. So there's going to be a governmental aspect to this. Now, as I said, they thought, early Christians thought that the restrainer was possibly the government. Maybe it was the Roman Empire. I don't see it being the restrainer of the government, because government is not going to be removed within the tribulation. So the second thing, maybe it's Satan. Maybe it's the devil himself, that he's restraining it. Well, Mark chapter 3, verse 24, you know this verse, whether you realize it or not. A kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. You didn't know that you knew that reference, but you know that verse, Mark chapter 3, verse 24. You can't have a kingdom divided against itself in the home. Mama's got to agree with daddy in front of the kids, or you're going to have a kingdom divided and you've got a problem. You got to have some unification when you're able as leaders to step forward and say, we're unified in this. We talked about it. In that, it can't be Satan, because then Satan is working against himself. He's holding himself back to then let himself go. It doesn't make sense for a kingdom to be divided against himself. So here's the question. What power is strong enough to restrain evil and the devil? What power is strong enough to restrain evil and the devil? That's the question, because he's restraining at this moment lawlessness. The only power that is strong enough is God's power. The Holy Spirit is the restrainer. Only God's power can restrain evil. The Holy Spirit is the restrainer. Do you see what's happening? The Holy Spirit is here and restraining until the right time. The man of lawlessness will be released, and the lawlessness will be released, and the Holy Spirit is restraining it. Now let's read those verses 6 and 7 together one more time and see if that makes more sense. And now you know what is holding him back. The Spirit, it's the Greek, a neuter, not a male or female, but the Spirit. So that at the proper time he, the Antichrist, may be revealed at the proper time. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work. But the one, now that's he, who holds it back will continue to do so until he is taken out of the way. God's power is the only power that can restrain evil. So the Holy Spirit is holding back the evil. And it's interesting, in verse 6, the Greek is that it's a neuter way of showing the word, meaning without gender. So the Spirit without gender. Yes, we understand that. Then in verse 7, it's a he. Yes, we understand that. That's a part of the Trinity. And so the Holy Spirit is not just the holy it. He's a person of the Trinity. And so we're able to see this come together, of the Spirit coming together so that he is the restrainer. Now, just by the way, oftentimes within our strain of Protestantism or our strain of Christianity, sometimes we can leave the Holy Spirit out, because it's, you know, kind of the cousin that we don't really want to invite too much to the family reunion, because we don't know what's going to happen. So we're a lot more comfortable with God the Father and Jesus the Son than we are the Spirit. And so sometimes we can limit and squelch the Spirit and quench the Spirit, because how do I get my hands around the Spirit? I can understand Jesus, I can understand God, but the Spirit, that's what other people kind of get into, and it gets a little bit wacky. No, the Spirit is a part of the Trinity, and the Holy Spirit is holding back right now all of this evil. This is the way Charles Ryrie puts it. Ultimately, a decision as to the identity of the restrainer will be made on the basis of answering the question, who is powerful enough to hold Satan? The obvious and only answer to that question is God. Therefore, the restrainer must be God himself. Now, let me draw an illustration here. The Holy Spirit is holding back the Antichrist and evil from just being released. And who is the one that holds back evil being released in your own life? The Holy Spirit. Not your willpower, not your strength, not your knowledge, not your attendance. The Holy Spirit of God, hear this now from New Covenant perspective. The Holy Spirit of God resides in the heart of a believer in Christ so that a believer in Christ can trust upon God to help them, not to manage sin, but to run from sin. And so the more we release our lives to the Holy Spirit, the greater control God has within our lives, the greater leadership God has within our lives. When you hear the Spirit speak to you, say yes. Just say yes. When He tells you something, say yes. This morning I talked with a lady and I walked off, and in my heart, the Spirit just told me, go back and pray with her. And I turned around and prayed with her. And didn't you know it's the right thing to do? Boy, that meant so much to her. When the Spirit speaks to you, the Holy Spirit lives in your life. And it is true in our lives that we have to trust His power and wisdom over our own. That He is the one that is holding back. Because if you're like me, there's a lot of evil in my flesh. My heart is holy because of the Spirit living in me. And I'm a new creation in Christ. But my flesh, boy, I can do some bad things. I can think some bad thoughts. But when I say, Jesus, I want You to take captive my thoughts. Jesus, I want You to guide my life. Holy Spirit, I want You to be the one that's in charge. Then the Holy Spirit begins to wash you clean and work that out. The Holy Spirit is what holds back this sin. Even as fresh as this morning in my quiet time, or Thursday in my quiet time, I was reading in the devotional guide that we do as a church. And in that, it was just perfect for what I was going through that day. Just needed to hear it. And it was the Spirit just reminding me, Greg, if you'll let me, I'll take control today. And the days that He has control are a whole lot better than the days I have control. No one's done me more harm than Greg. No one's done me more good than the Spirit of God. So the Holy Spirit is what is holding back at this moment sin and lawlessness and the Antichrist. He is what is holding it back. So now we ask the question, how does the Holy Spirit do that? What happens when it's removed? Because here's what I want you to see visually. The Holy Spirit is what is holding this man back. Now I know if you're superstitious, I just scared you, but we don't believe in superstition, okay? And I want kudos to go to our production team, because you know how hard it is to find a white umbrella? Let me tell you what. We didn't want any black Holy Spirit, you know, or brown or dirty or anything like that. We wanted it white and pure for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the restrainer. He is holding back right now the Antichrist. He is holding back right now the lawlessness that is coming. He is holding back even in our own lives, our flesh, because we don't have a glorified body yet. And so the Holy Spirit is holding this back and keeping this back. What will be the thing that will remove the Holy Spirit? Think about this. The Holy Spirit, by definition, is omnipresent. How do you remove the Holy Spirit? You can't remove something that's omnipresent, meaning that the Holy Spirit is everywhere. Jesus Christ is everywhere. God the Father is everywhere. The Holy Spirit is everywhere. And so you cannot remove the Holy Spirit in an omnipresent way. This is how you remove the Holy Spirit and the restrainer is taken away. It's called the rapture of the church. And believers in Christ who are indwelled by the Holy Spirit are taken out of the world. And at that moment, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we as believers are taken out, raptured by being taken out. And now the Holy Spirit is taken out through the believers in our hearts. And now the man of lawlessness and the Antichrist can reign free. You see that? That's very important that we understand that. Because once the Holy Spirit, the restrainer, is taken out, then the rebellion will occur that we talked about last week. Then the revealing of the Antichrist will happen, because now he's been removed and revealed. But here's the thing. There's an omnipresent aspect of the Holy Spirit. The rapture allows lawlessness to move freely. The rapture allows lawlessness to move freely. But the Holy Spirit is still there. Because people in the tribulation will be saved. It will happen. They will be saved. There will be folks that will be saved. All throughout Revelation chapter 7, Revelation chapter 7 talks about 144,000 Jewish people coming to Christ. It talks about in the beginning of that chapter, it says a multitude upon multitude in white robes, far more than you could count from every nation, tribe, and tongue. That they are there and they're singing out, as John said, singing to the Lamb. And then further in the chapter, it says, who are these people? It says, these are the ones that have come from the tribulation. So the Holy Spirit is omnipresent, but indwelled believers are raptured. The Holy Spirit is taken out. The Antichrist is then free to move. And when he is taken out, there is still an omnipresence of the Holy Spirit. And with the omnipresence of the Holy Spirit, indwelt believers raptured, there will be salvation that comes to folks. The tribulation is to show the Jewish people that the Messiah Jesus was the true Messiah, because they will see the Antichrist is not the true Messiah. He will come and he will establish a treaty, and then he will turn on them in 3.5 years. And at that time, there will be two witnesses for 3.5 years that will prophesy and share the gospel. And then there will be folks that come to know Jesus Christ. So does that make sense? I'm going over it time and time again because I really want you to get this. The Holy Spirit resides in believers' hearts. It's called the New Covenant. And the rapture of the church removes the Holy Spirit in believers' hearts, not from our hearts, but us being raptured. So that now, yes, the Holy Spirit is omnipresent, but it is removed so that the lawlessness can move itself out. Then the lawlessness moves out. So the restrainer is the Holy Spirit. And when he's removed in the rapture of the church, then the lawlessness is able to reign free. The Antichrist is able to be revealed. The rebellion is able to happen. This should do a couple things for us, and then we'll close. Number one, we should appreciate as New Testament believers that the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. I think we really underestimate that. I know I do. We really underestimate that. We've heard that so many times. The Holy Spirit of God resides and dwells in the believer. It says in John 14, verse 16 and 17, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor. Paraclete is the Greek word, one who walks alongside of, to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. That's huge. That is huge. So if you are here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, we're not talking about just where you're going to come on Sunday mornings and how you act. That has an aspect of it. We are talking about the Holy Spirit of God residing in you. And as he lives through you, then you're the kind of husband God wants you to be. Then you're the kind of wife God wants you to be. Then you're the kind of worshiper. Then you're the kind of Christian. Then you're the kind of giver. You're the kind of receiver. Because the Holy Spirit, you've said, Lord, if the Holy Spirit can restrain evil in all of society, then the Holy Spirit can restrain evil in me. And I just release to you, God, because I know I still have a tendency in my flesh for evil. The Holy Spirit lives inside of a believer. Please don't miss that, number one. Number two, it should bring in our lives radical change from the inside out. Radical change from the inside out. Here in this time of the basketball finals, would you rather a basketball lesson from Kobe Bryant, or would you rather have Kobe Bryant in you? I'd rather have Kobe Bryant in me, because then I could be just whatever. 5'7", slam dunking. 5'8", with shoes on, I want you to know. But in you and a lesson from you is a different deal. He could give me lessons all day long, but it wouldn't be the same as if he was within me. The Holy Spirit does give us lessons, no question. But the Holy Spirit residing in you is a whole different ballgame. And when the Holy Spirit raptures us, when we go up, it will move from the Old Testament to the New Testament in the church age. It'll move back to the Old Testament kind of days. It will be similar if you put that in your mind. The Holy Spirit will still be omnipresent. He'll still be with believers, but he will not be residing in believers. And we have the privilege, we have the blessing to be in this time that the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. It's called the New Covenant. And angels long to look into it. Long to look into it. The Antichrist is freed when the Holy Spirit is removed. The Holy Spirit is removed, not in omnipresence, but in the rapture of the church. So that then the tribulation is a free reign of lawlessness. We already see what's called here in these verses, the mystery of lawlessness. And you know what? The mystery of lawlessness is bad, isn't it? Sometimes I'm watching the news or reading the paper, and I see the headline in the paper, and I think, I don't even want to read that article. Oh, the headline defiled me enough. Are you kidding me? Did somebody really do that to somebody? Oh, wow. That's just the mystery of it. Imagine when the Holy Spirit is taken out and it reigns freely. Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I invite you in just a moment. We'll pray. And you can come and you can ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior. And what will happen is the Holy Spirit will come into your life. And he will live in your heart. Forgive you of all your sins. And give you the power to live out this Christian life. The Christian life is impossible without the Holy Spirit. Close with this illustration. In our house, we play a lot of games with kids around the house. It's fun. So we play all sorts of games. And we like card games. So we'll play Go Fish. And we'll play Crazy Eight. And one of the best ones is Uno. And we've got about Uno. What happens is you buy one pack of Uno cards and you can't find it, so you find another pack of Uno cards and you can't. Then all of a sudden you end up with three or four packs of Uno cards. So you've got these Uno cards that are stacked up. You don't shuffle them well because it's too big of a stack, so you end up with like 48 green in a row. And so you're going, and so we're playing Uno, and so we're going back and forth, and it's fun. We're having a great time. And so you end up with this handful of Uno cards where I finally said, look, we've got a limit on how many you can draw until you get the right one, because this is just, I can't even carry them anymore. So you got these things, and you get close in Uno where you think, I'm about to win. This is about to be it. Here I am. And then the other person drops a draw four on you. You draw four, and then a skip a turn, and a backwards this, and a draw two, and a color change of this, and I don't have another one of those. And before you know it, you go from like three cards to literally probably 13 or 14 cards. And you've got this handful of cards, and you're thinking, there's no way out. And then all of a sudden, you get on a roll, and you're doing skip a turn, and draw two, and draw four, and color change, and this and that. I'm becoming an expert. And so we just start playing it going. We got two different hands going. It's happening. And all of a sudden, you get on a roll, or what happened to me, he got on a roll. My son got on a roll. So he just starts boom, 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 laughing. Oh, daddy, 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 daddy. And then next time, you're buying cards with your own money, son. That's what you're doing. And so we get all these Uno cards until finally he's on a roll. Bam, 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 bam. Uno. And I submit to you, that's going to be a little bit like the end times. It's going to feel like it's a long, long ways away. And all of a sudden, things are going to start rolling. And it's going to be bam, ba-bam, 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 ba-bam. Uno, he is the way, the truth, and the life. And what you do with that last card of Uno, solo Cristo, Christ only, will change everything else. And I've got great news. With Uno, the sure defeat becomes a sure victory. And so today, there's Uno via, one way. There's one way, and his name is Jesus. There's Uno Savior. There's Uno Cross. There's Uno Holy Spirit. There's Uno Truth. Uno is all it is. Everything else is a counterfeit. If you don't know that Savior, today's the day.